And as we investigated this text, it became clear to us that the Spirit of God is but one spirit that exists. And we saw the spirit of man, the spirit of the world, and we saw the spirit of God. And all this is on a journey to help us to understand, and we are going to get into that aspect today, to understand that while nature will tell us some things about God, but it is the Spirit of God that will reveal the mind and who God truly is, and he does this through the Scriptures. And so we recognize that the Spirit of God teaches. It is not an emotional mover, but instead, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is an intelligent, controllable, non-confusing, decent, and orderly part of the Godhead. And so we recognize that we should never tell any lie on the Spirit. And I gave you some homework, and I don't know, should I ask who did the homework? You are to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we will see a stark contrast between how we see the modern world and many persons in this age, what they attribute to the Holy Spirit versus what the Apostle Paul would have penned in respect to the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is subject to the prophet. So it's not that when we are talking, then we can't help ourselves. When the Holy Spirit is at play, then everything is done decent and orderly. And so it is this intelligence, this teaching capability of the Holy Spirit, in whom the Godhead has vested the responsibility to share with mankind who God is. What is the mind of God? According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that was read earlier, we recognize that the Holy Spirit teaches through the Scriptures. And it says, all Scripture
is given by
inspiration,
of God. And is profitable for doctrine.
And it has some things that are profitable, that will bring gain, that will be of benefit. It is profitable for?
For doctrine.
For reproof.
For correction. For instruction in righteousness.
Pause there. We want to just spend a few minutes dissecting this. This was really supposed to be a part of last week's lesson. In this passage, we recognize that it is by inspiration. It is by God breathing, God's breath, that's the literal meaning of inspiration, that we receive messages from God. So all scripture is given by inspiration. But let us savor the message in this passage a little, because it goes beyond that all scripture is given by inspiration, but it becomes very clear that it is by the inspiration of God. This becomes significant. Why? We already saw that there are different spirits. And it's as if Paul is saying, do not make any mistake. God is not revealing himself by what man gets as some inspiration, by what man dreams up, what man reasons out, but it is given by the inspiration of God, not man and not the world. And that too is significant, because the world sometimes conjure up, develop, fabricate some things and tell us that this is God. You remember when Aaron asked the children of Israel, give me a bowl and make a beautiful calf, and then says, this is God. Sometimes we come up with things and say, wow, this is really the big thing. But inspiration comes from God, God breath. But beyond it being from the inspiration of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. For what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let me pause there again. I am pausing a lot. Instruction in righteousness. Because, you know, sometimes we go to scripture for all kind of things. And it sometimes an interesting thing, you know, that when we go to scripture, we can find much truth. But the Bible is first and foremost a book that instructs us in righteousness. And so while a study of the Bible will give us great insight into geography, you know, hear about Asia, you know, and we hear about the journey that Abraham made from one place to another. And so we get some insight into geography. But the scripture is not about geography. It is about righteousness, instruction in righteousness. The Bible is not a medical book. But for those of us who would have, even on the onset of COVID, now we're still in it, yeah, your brother Mary said, let us not, in the easing of the restrictions, start believing that COVID now keep again. It's still here. You know, some of us, for years to come, we'll have this thing ringing in our heads, you know, social distance, you know, wash your hands. You know, it's become a way of life. Should I do it? I won't sing it for you because, you know, oh, me and that part go already. But even the washing of the hand, you know, you must wash your hand, but you wash your hand long, you know, 20 seconds. I remember to get myself into the groove, because I never used to wash my hand for 20 seconds. You know, wash your hand, you know, put soap, wash off soap. Probably that take 5 seconds. All right. But to get my 20 seconds in, I created a little jingle in my mind. Me no want no COVID. And by the time I sing the parts, I'll spare you. Then 20 seconds and because. Till afterwards, no, I don't have to sing the jingle. I just naturally wash my hand for 20 seconds. All right, but that's straight. When we look at scripture, we would have recognized that inspiration would have told the children of Israel what to do and how to treat with a person with some type of contagious disease. You know, separate them for time. And when you look at that, when you read that, and you can do that as another homework, you'd realize that some of the same protocols that we have established today, that medical science is saying this is a good approach to deal with the COVID. It's some of the same practices, washing the hand, isolate for X amount of time and check and if it's still isolated. But what is my point? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for these things, and it gives instruction in righteousness. So even though scripture may speak to medicine, it is not a medicine book. It's really first and foremost a book of instruction in righteousness. Thinkers, the philosophers, I don't know if there's any philosopher who are greater thinkers than the things that we have seen penned in inspiration. But the Bible is not a book of philosophy. It is a book that is giving us instruction in righteousness. Not a book of history, how rich the Bible is historically. But yet, inspiration is saying to us that when God breathed and gave us that which is profitable to us, including instruction in righteousness, our instructions, it is instruction in righteousness. But we are still there in Timothy. So it tells us that it is profitable, including giving instruction in righteousness. Read on.
Instructions in righteousness.
Yes.
That the man of God.
It targets. It has a target. It targets the man of God. It allows us to be perfect. Amen. to be complete. Yeah. It thoroughly furnishes us and equips us. And somebody's face light up. What? It makes me perfect. It makes me complete. It equips and furnishes me. Read on.
That the man of God may be perfect.
May be perfect.
Thoroughly furnished.
Thoroughly furnished.
Unto all good works.
Unto all good works. Amen. Yes, sometimes we get comfortable. Oh, the word of God is going to do this and will lead me to be this. To what end? Because sometimes we have expectations that the Bible had no such thing in mind. So, yes, I am a faithful, trying child of God. Why then don't I have everything that I want? Why then am I not having the biggest job? Why then can't I have the type of house and car that I want. God does not give us any assurance that this perfection and being thorough and riches that can come. But that is not the intent of God's inspiration. Nor is it that it will equip us to be educationally astute, to excel in a secular fashion. Nor does it talk about that type of achievement at all. While it is, and I have observed this, that a person who, especially from a young age, starts saturating themselves with the Word of God, they develop some practices that helps them. Good principles can be achieved. And that's why we yearn for the Sunday school to be back on track. You know, we are there partially online. But we want to continue to expose the young to the Word of God because it shapes them spiritually. And it also helps them in other realms. You know, there are many of us as Christians, as we move about and as we deal with persons, we have good social standing. You know, you're in the workplace and a conflict comes up, and because of how you probably handle yourself, you're called in to help because you are going to try to administer sound judgment. You are not going to show favoritism. These are things that, because we are embracing Christianity, it comes, it gives us good social standing. But that's not what the inspiration of God is primarily about. It is for good work. Good work. Being faithful to the Almighty God. That's what the Holy Scripture is all about. What are we saying? The Holy Spirit teaches through the Scriptures. Let me move on. Because remember the wider context that we are in. Nature tells us about God. But it takes the Scripture through the inspiration of God, through the Spirit of God, for us to truly understand the mind of God and who God is. Let us spend a few minutes looking at what nature reveals. Yeah, nature. All we have to do is sort of look around and we become amazed at how just good and powerful God is. You know, I looked away from the building just now. I was just looking at the tree and the blooming orange tree. And I shouldn't have called a color because men are often colorblind. Somebody's going to say, that's not orange. All right, but I won't get into that part. But we just need to look at nature and realize that God is indeed a marvelous God, powerful God. You know, I promised that I would quote a scientist, and you know, there's a scientist, Dr. Brad Harrop, and in speaking about nature, you know, he had some things to see. In fact, let me just read a portion before I get into his. You know, we talk about natural theology. Natural theology. And that might sound, you know, a little big. Natural theology. So what is brother coming with another money? A theology? We just want to learn into this high-tech theology. What is that? Well, broken down simply, it consists of two parts. Theo and logic. And we are quite familiar with this. We use it all the time. And it just simply means study of. But, you know, if I simplify it. Yes? So we talk about biology. That's the study of living things. And then we talk about zoology. You're hearing the ology? That's the study now of more than living things now, but the animal. And we talk about things like geology, which is the study of mass. You know, so we talk about earth, you know. So we talk about the earth science, you know, geology. So when we see this, it's just a study of. And then theo comes from the word God. So when we talk about theology, you know, oh, I went to a theological seminary. You know, it sounds something, you know, I know it used to sound like that to me. That's why I'm trying to break it down, you know, putting myself in your shoe. So when you talk about theology, it's really just the study of God. What we are going to see is that when we talk about theology, we have what we call the natural theology. That's the study of God by nature. But we also have theology, for convenience, I just call it revealed theology. And what are we saying in this? Work with me now. It is a study of God, when we're talking about natural theology, the study of God by the things that we see around us. So this has its place. And there is also the study of God that we see by His revelation. And that's what we were talking about just now in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That beyond what we can know about God by what we see around us, God has allowed us to know about Him by the things that He has revealed to us through scriptures. So here it is. And probably I shouldn't have started with these quotations, because even though it is looking around us, even inspiration, what is revealed, tells us about the natural. But I'm going to keep my posture. So when we hear the natural theology speak, and I'm just going to be quoting an aspect from a writer. The works of nature, wants only to be contemplated. They have everything within them. That we are just astonished by their greatness. I'm quoting. For of the vast scale of operation through which our discoveries carry us, we see an intelligent power. That's when we're looking at the works of nature. Every organized natural body in the provisions which it contains for its sustenance and its propagation. I'm quoting, I'm using some big term here. Yeah? Sustentiation and propagation. So what he's saying here is that when we look at any organism, we have a wide range of them. When we look at how it exists and how it continues to sustain itself, when we look at the process that caused it to continue to exist, reproduce, that's the propagation, you know, reproduce itself. And when it reproduces itself, it looks like itself. When we look at all, you know, that's what he's saying in terms of sustentation and propagation. So he says, every organized natural body in the provision which it contains for its sustentation and propagation testifies a care on the part of the Creator. Are we hearing some of the words? So first, we're seeing the power. We're seeing the intelligence. Now we're seeing that it points to a Creator. When we just looking at how this being sustains itself and reproduces itself, it just testifies that there is a Creator. He continues to say, we are on all sides surrounded by such bodies. It's not like there's just one thing that we see and we say, yes. You know, this man, this God, did buck up into it. No, we see it in so many bodies. We're on all sides surrounded by such bodies. Examine in their parts. Wonderful, curious, compared with one another. So when you look at it, a bird operates different from the human, from the dog, from the cat. But yet, so much things go in it. So it's no less wonderfully diversified. That itself is in awe. That the plant is sustained and reproduced in a different way than that of the animal. But yet, they are all so wonderful. There is no subject of which, in its full extent, the latitude is so great as to the natural history applied to the proof of an intelligent Creator. So I'm just quoting from what natural theology. This is what a person not even looking at the revealed theology, the revealed study of God in inspiration, just looking at nature. This is just a neutral person just looking around and penning this, and I've packaged it in a term, natural theology, can be seen. And we could quote other persons. You have that, I think I shared that one with you. That quote about natural theology. If you read it for me quickly.
The works of nature wants only to be contemplated. When contemplated...
No, that's the other one. That's one I just did. That's the only one you have. Okay. No worries. Among the things that Dr. Brad, the neurologist, would have said, there can be no poem without a poet. Think about it. How can there be a poem without a poet? When we look at the design of the world, we recognize that there must be a designer. We can just pause a little and look around and just look into the sky. You know, there's this jingle that is out again since COVID. I guess we'll be talking about COVID for a long time. You know, and it's an ad, inside, you know, inside. And you must stay inside. Well, sometimes we need to go outside, and the inside don't mean you have to stay inside the house, you can stay inside the yard. Yeah? And I know for us in Kingston, it's not so easy, because we have all the street lights and bugging us. Yeah? And we're seeing all the lights. But have you ever just looked up into the sky and just see the beauty of the stars, the moon? Have you ever just looked at the clouds and you just see the beauty of it? No mistake in those things. You just have to look at nature. But the revealed theology, the revealed word of God, inspiration, also tells us of this. I like Psalm 19. Jumps in. You know, it's almost like the revealed theology is telling us too about the natural theology. And Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmaments
showeth his hand.
They show his handiworks. Read on.
Day unto day.
Day unto day. As you see, day change to night, and night to day.
Uttereth speech.
It speaks to us.
And night unto night sheweth knowledge.
We see knowledge. So just nature is saying that this is not any accident. A study of God naturally shows us that God exists. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, again, the revealed theology, the inspiration of God is joining in to say that the natural theology makes sense. For the invisible things
of him from
of
him from the creation.
Start reading. Start again.
For the invisible things.
For the invisible things
of him from the creation.
From the creation
of the world.
Yes.
Are clearly seen.
Are clearly seen. You see, so without even reading scripture, without seeing what God would have revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, and I must pause here and remind us what we're talking about. But the Spirit of God. It's telling us that we have a God who is not only knowledgeable, must be a God of knowledge that would have created this world, but it is showing that this God is present. He's not absent. The invisible things make certain things clearly seen. It points to a very powerful God. So what are we saying? Nature reveals that God exists. Nature reveals that He is a powerful God. Nature reveals that God is a God of design. He's here. He's present in the world. He didn't just create the world and leave it. He sustains it. He is, in fact, the great creator, the causer, the designer. You know, I could spend a little more time here, because we see these things in nature, that God is creator, He's causer, He's designer. But again, revealed inspiration, revealed theology, the inspiration of God tells us these truths. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. So we can't just look and say, there must be a God that created this thing. But just in case you're wondering, God doesn't leave us. You can't see it naturally, but I'm telling you, that's the first thing I'm telling you in the inspiration. In the beginning, God created. Psalm 8, 3 and 4. Again, it points to the greatness of God. We looked at Psalm 19, 1. Are you at Psalm 8, 3? You know, we saw the heavens declare the glory of God. That was Psalm 19. Psalm 8, 3. You not there yet?
When I consider thy heavens.
When I consider the heavens.
The work of thy fingers.
And the work of thy fingers.
The moon and the stars.
When I look at the moon and the stars, that's what I was encouraging you to do earlier. You know, just look at the stars, and Brother Wilson said, and the moon. So here, you're inspired, brother. Read.
Which thou hast ordained.
Which thou hast
ordained.
Read.
What is man?
What is man?
That thou art mindful.
That thou art mindful of. You know, we are already getting now to see that when we look at this, we start pointing to the goodness of God. So we realize that we don't have a draconian God. If God could have created these things for our soothing, for our sustenance, we realize that it points to a God good to us. You know, Psalm 100. You know, jump down to the third verse. We could almost quote it, but read.
Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
It is He that hath made us. And not we ourselves.
What are we saying? The revealed inspiration, the revealed theology, the revealed study of God is telling us what we already see naturally. But having said that, hear this now. There is limitation to nature. Nature tells us a whole lot. Nature carries us a far way, but it is limited. So even though it gives us insight that God is a God powerful, He is a God present, He is a God of knowledge, He is a God of goodness, but for the Spirit of God, we would still be ignorant. Amen. to some things. There are limitations to natural theology. There are limitations to what nature can tell us. Nature does not tell us the mind of God. Remember how we had started in Corinthians? You know, you can't tell the mind of a man except by the spirit of the man. You can't know his intent. We do not know what this powerful, knowledgeable, mighty, dull-looking, good God is about. We don't know his mind and his intent. We can't just look at nature and know that he loves man so much that he would give his only begotten son to save man. We can't know that by just looking at nature. We can't by nature, this is important now, we can't by nature know God's will for man. But for the Holy Spirit, we would not know what God's will is for man. So we can't know that to get into Christ, we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Amen. Nothing in nature. You can't look at anything and say, oh, you know, that's what you need to do to get into Christ. Amen. But, and except for the Spirit of God, we would not know what God's will is for man. Nature will not reveal to us that there's a hell and there's a heaven. Nature does not point to that. And what is the point now? Though God reveals himself naturally, we have to go to scripture. We have to go to inspiration to find out what God has revealed to us concerning his desires for us, his mind. We can't dream it up. We can't just think it up. We can't just reason it up. We can't just observe and deduce it up. We have to go to the scripture. That is where he's going to reveal his will for us. So, what are we saying? Though nature tells us a lot, except and but for the Spirit of God, but for the Holy Spirit, we cannot know the mind of God. And so we need to look to the scriptures. Amen. When we get another opportunity, we will expand the lesson to recognize that though the Almighty God reveals in nature that he is a knowing God, he is a powerful God, he is a God present, he is a God good and giving. We see all of these things, we get a glimmer of these in inspiration. Through the Spirit of God, through inspiration, we're going to learn that God is revealed not only to be knowledgeable, but all knowledgeable. That he's revealed not only to be powerful, but all powerful. That he is not just present, but that he is all present. is omnipresent. That he is not just a good God, a giving God, but that he is all giving. Yeah. I give you a little insight. He gave his all. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Amen. You need the inspired word of God. Yeah. But for the Spirit of God revealing it through Scripture, you can't think that up and know that. Thank God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Amen. To be free from sin. Yeah. But we only know that we sin because inspiration has highlighted it. Yeah. To have Christ within, to be made a joint here, to be a joint here with God. Yeah. It's the revealed word of God. Amen. But except for the Spirit of God, we would not know this. We could not enjoy this. Yeah. But here we are, joint heirs. If you are not a child of God, yeah, we have said enough from this inspired word of God for you to come and enjoy this wonderful thing. Yeah. To be freed from sin. To have Christ within. And you can do that today. Yeah. As we stand.